The DAL File, the ultimate Cowboys podcast with Nate Lundy.
And welcome to another edition of the NFL Files. My name is Nate Lundy. Thank you for being here. Week one in the National Football League is in the books. We now get a chance to look back at week one and also start to preview week two. We will do so by checking in on the team, figuring out the very latest injuries, expectations, the highs and lows of week one. Then we'll go around the NFL. We'll do that with the NFL Network's Brian Billick. And then in overtime this week, speaking of the NFL Network, one of the newest faces there on the NFL Network, Mike Garofolo, will join me for overtime, a six-pack of questions. It all gets started right now on the NFL Files.
The big interview.
It's time to talk Cowboys. Let's do it. 105.3 in Dallas. We welcome in Jeff Cavanaugh. You find him on Twitter at JC1053. Jeff, on a scale of 1 to 10, the level of frustration of Cowboys fans right now is what?
Ooh, I will go 6.4. You know, it's kind of tough, Nate, because I think it's based on what your expectation level was. And I think a lot of people let a Dak Prescott preseason have them set an unfair bar for him going into the regular season. I didn't do that. So I wasn't, you know, I wasn't upset with the quarterback's performance. I expected a Giants win in a close game, and we got it. You know, the way that it happened, that can lend itself to some frustration because it's 2 inches on a Dez Bryant catch. It's Cole Beasley not catching a ball that's probably a touchdown. So, you know, there's reasons to be frustrated, but I think if you went into it with realistic expectations, you just kind of looked at it like, okay, that's week one. Let's see what happens.
Overall, the let's start on the defensive side because there's plenty of offensive things to talk about. But let's go to the defensive side. You hold Eli Manning to just a shade over 200 yards passing. The Cowboys sacked him twice. The bright spots for you defensively and areas where you still see the need for improvement?
Well, I mean, that's again, this is going to be because of the way the Cowboys are trying to play football and they really pulled it off. You could say it's a bright spot because of the number of points they let up overall, but you just look at the number of possessions in a game, and the Cowboys did a great job of limiting that. The Giants really had, I believe it was only 7 or 8 possessions, so 21 points given that is a pretty decent day for the Giants. So I thought the secondary was okay. You know, there's an unknown guy sort of with the Cowboys that wears number 97, Terrell McClain, that plays defensive tackle that I thought was really, really good. They paid Cedric Thornton to come in here, and he's the backup to Terrell McClain, essentially. They rotate, but he was able to anchor that defensive line pretty well. Anytime that he was out of there, that's when the floodgates opened and the Giants were able to run the ball. But I think you look at the secondary, and Brandon Carr, that interception was kind of a gift. But, hey, he caught it, and I think that's his second time to catch one in about 3 or 4 years. So, you know, you'll take that. I don't think they really – stopped the Giants all that much. It's hard to look around that defense and say that guy played great, that guy played great, that guy played great. But, you know, as a group, I thought the first team defensive line before they started bringing in some of the other guys, they did a nice job stopping the run. You know, when they got a little bit of coverage behind them, Benson Mayowa was able to get in there and get a sack. So overall, I thought there was a lot of performances from guys that were solid enough to give you a chance to win a football game. But I thought when you looked at all of the guys individually, I can point out more guys who I'm kind of disappointed with the way they played than guys that you want to prop up and really praise.
As you look at the running game and you see Ezekiel Elliott, granted his first regular season game, but with all the hype behind that offensive line, his hype as the pick that he was, disappointment for you in terms of seeing him only average 2.5 yards a carry?
Yeah, definitely with the numbers. The numbers lead you to disappointment, and I think that's a result of, A, you know, it's a rookie back that didn't practice a whole lot leading up to the season. You know, you watch him in the preseason game against the Seahawks, and we all got excited, but he was sucking wind, you know, after 2 or 3 carries. And so, you know, maybe it'll just take a little bit in terms of kind of gelling with what this offensive line wants to do. Cause you look at what Alfred Morris did, and that's a guy that, you know, he came from Washington where they do the zone blocking scheme, just like they do in Dallas. And Alfred was able to find some creases, a little bit unfair because, you know, a lot of it depends on, are you going to win when you're blocking, or are you not going to win when you're blocking? And when Alfred was in there, they gave him some creases, and he did a great job of getting in a foot in the ground, getting north and south, and finding a way to get through it. Zeke, I thought they gave him less opportunities, but it could also just be a thing of, let's get this guy in really good shape. Let's get him more reps behind this line so he knows what he's looking for, and he's got a better handle for what they're doing and where the hole might materialize. And, you know, so for 1 week, I thought Alfred Morris did an outstanding job, and for Ezekiel Elliott, I'd like to see them give him a better chance to get going, but you would also like to see him pop some big ones, because if I'm going to use a top five pick on a running back, it kind of can't just be when they block it great, you do well. If you're a top five pick at running back, you've got to do something special for him.
When you look at Dez Bryant, you see the one catch, the five targets. Were the Giants just causing those issues? Was this a rookie quarterback? Was this Dez having a bad day? How do you chalk it up?
I think this was probably – this has been our biggest talking point all day, and I think there's a variety of ways. One, I think that the Giants were very much keyed on Dez Bryant. You know, if you were going to try to go downfield, you were going to be going into double coverage. But the other part, I think there's a lot of frustration with this coaching staff, because when you look around the league and you look at the number of targets, guys like Antonio Brown and Julio Jones and A.J. Green and just DeAndre Hopkins, go through the best receivers in the league. These guys get tons of opportunities to make plays for you. And it seems like the way that the Cowboys schemed this game, the opportunities they were going to give him was just, hey, once in a while, we're going to throw it down there and hope for the best. And Dez is great in those situations. It's great to give him an opportunity. But to have that little amount of targets and to not, I just feel like this coaching staff doesn't do a great job of scheming him open. You watch Antonio Brown, you watch Julio Jones, and these guys, you know, you'll motion into the slot. You'll stack up behind another guy. You'll run away from coverage across the field. And with Dez, it just seems like they're just saying, hey, run down there. Once in a while, we're going to throw it to you in double coverage. The number of targets that they had for Witten and Cole Beasley on the underneath and on the drag routes, if you want to have the best chance of win, why don't you put the guy who gives you the best chance to score in those situations, get him the ball on the move. And you're seeing so many targets for these guys that they just don't have the after catch ability that Dez has. So it's disappointing all around, but I'd like to see them do a more concerted or give a more concerted effort to get 88 the football.
And Jeff, here's my question too. I guess, you know, as folks watch this and they know historically, at what point does this turn into an eruption by Dez Bryant on the sideline? I mean, 1 week maybe not, but do you hit the point where his frustration level, because we've certainly seen it before, starts to boil over, and now you got SportsCenter video material of him blowing up at somebody on the sideline?
Yeah, I think it'll be it may be eventually something like, if Dez didn't get the ball for another week or another 2 weeks, there may be something on the sideline where it's animated and his voice has gone up and it looks like he's cussing somebody out. But I mean, we've seen enough times Dez Bryant on the sideline, and then you actually get audio of it, and the guy's actually a really encouraging guy. His teammates love him. That dude is just trying to win football games. After the game, he had basically a perfect quotes where, you know, you got one catch, you had five targets, and you're Dez Bryant. And he's just talking about, you know, this is a team is going to be a really good team. We just got to keep doing what we're doing, and it's going to come. I think Dez is a great teammate. He's always going to be animated. You'll always be able to just pull video off of a sideline and put it on a screen and say that Dez is yelling at somebody. But generally, if you get actual audio of it, you will have to bleep it. You will have to bleep it. But it's not generally him just cussing somebody out and going after him. It's just him encouraging in his way. It's just who he is.
Jeff, when you look at the schedule, obviously it's a road game this Sunday against the Redskins. Any frustration for you or for the fans of starting off the season with two divisional games instead of maybe a couple of things out of the division that would let the team shake the rust loose?
Maybe because you don't have Romo, I could see that. Otherwise, I mean, I'd love it. I think this is, 4 years out of five that they've opened with the Giants. And I wish the NFL would do that with every team every year. I love the idea of start with division games and then at the end of the year line them up against division games again so that hopefully the division is on the line somewhere. I love those games. You know, people are going to watch the NFL no matter what. But if you want somebody locked in from week one, run a division rival into town. You know, I love it. The only way that it could be better is if you had Tony Romo back there when you were playing these divisional games. But, you know, Dak, by all accounts, has done pretty well for a fourth-round rookie so far, and he's hopefully going to give you a chance to win these games. It's just somebody's going to have to help him.
And, Jeff, when you were talking about the game against the Giants, you mentioned some guys on defense that you thought you needed to see more out of. So tell me who one or two of those guys are that you need to see more out of in this road game for week two.
Tyrone Crawford, the defensive tackle. I believe he's the second highest paid guy on that defense. And I was just listening to Coach Garrett's press conference a little, like 30 minutes ago, I think. And that was one guy where he said, you know what, he's got to make more of an impact on the game. And that's about as big a criticism as you're ever going to get from Jason Garrett, because everybody's a great player that goes about it the right way. But, you know, Tyrone Crawford is a guy that they expected big things out of. And in training camp, when he's been healthy, he's looked really good, you know. And he gets to play that three technique spot where hopefully you're going to get some one-on-one matchups with a guard and you're going to be able to go pressure the quarterback. But far too often, he's getting blown off the football. He's not affecting the quarterback enough. And that's supposed to be the star of the Rod Marinelli defense. You line up at that three technique, and we're going to go get after that quarterback. We're going to go get sacked. But that physical part of the game, if you can't stand in there with a double team and not get blown off the ball 8 or 10 yards into the backfield, it's going to be tough. And the other one is, I don't think this team has a middle linebacker. And it sort of illustrates why they keep putting up with Rolando McClain and hoping they can get him on the football field, because the guy that started the game was Anthony Hitchens, and he's just not a physical point of attack player. So he struggles to get off of blocks, and then he gives up a touchdown pass. In the second half, you run Justin Duran out there, and it's kind of the same thing. I feel like they got a bunch of weak side linebackers, and somebody's got to play the middle, and they just don't have anybody that can do it.
Jeff Cavanaugh from 105.3 in Dallas. You find him on Twitter at JC105.3. Jeff, really appreciate the time to talk Cowboys. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Nate.
Stick around. Coming up next, the coach, Brian Billick.
Around the league.
It is time for us to go around the NFL, and we do that each week with the coach, Brian Billick. You find him on Twitter, at Coach Billick, and as he is each week, he's brought to us by our friends at SeatGeek. Make sure you've got the SeatGeek app on your mobile device or that you're visiting SeatGeek.com. Make sure you, your family, your friends are always getting the best deal on tickets, and you do that with the SeatGeek app. Coach, let's start here with the Monday night game. A lot of people surprised not only for Jared Goff not to start, but not even active. I know I'm asking you to speculate, but why do you believe the number one overall pick is not out there for the Rams, given how inept their offense looked overall?
Well, you can only assume that Jeff Fisher doesn't think he's ready. I mean, let's go back to Jeff's history. Yeah, when they drafted Steve McNair back in the 90s, he didn't actually start until his third season. They carried him along, felt like they needed to nurture him. They had two losing seasons leading up to that, and then he finally found his way into the starting lineup. If Jared Goff is not better than Case Keenum, they got a real problem, because obviously they were betting on playing great defense, running the ball, which they didn't last night. Todd Gurley only had 47 yards in 17 carries. And Case Keenum, you know, maybe you can play that formula where he was only 17 to 35, but he had two interceptions. If you're going to play that play great defense, run the ball formula, you got to run the ball and can't turn it over. So if they're not going to play a lot better than that, you got to put Jared Goff in just to get the experience.
Coach, is the Niners defense improved, or was this just a matter of the Rams being that bad?
Well, we're going to find out. We don't know, because the Rams offense was basically so inept. And so, yeah, we're going to have to see how it pans out. It's likely they're a little bit better than we all thought they were going to be, but their roster, when you look at it, you have some question marks, notwithstanding even the offensive side. Obviously, what Chip Kelly's doing, they have a lot of confidence. They obviously look pretty good, but we're going to find out, particularly this week, when they're going to play the Seattle Seahawks. We're going to find out more about L.A. and the fact that they play the Seattle Seahawks. In terms of San Francisco 49ers, the next step for them, obviously, is to, can they indeed go on the road? And it's a tall task, because they're going across the country to the Carolina Panthers. Now you're going to see a legitimate run offense. You're going to see maybe the best quarterback or the best athlete in the game in Cam Newton, and a very, very good Carolina defense. So it's going to be a test for the 49ers. They go across the country and put that kind of performance together against Carolina, then we're all going to say, nope, we were all kind of wrong. This team's pretty good.
for some people, looking at the AFC, the Steelers were a bit of a sleeper pick for some experts, Coach. Did you see that out of them in their Monday night contest against Washington? Could they contend in the AFC?
Well, I've on record, I had Pittsburgh down as my Super Bowl team. I think they could be, if, and this is a huge if they can stay healthy. And that's the key. And we're talking about Ben Roethlisberger, obviously Antonio Brown. That offensive line, which is healthy and looks spectacular. You know, yeah, Le'Veon Bell's not there, but D'Angelo Williams, let's remember last year he cranked off 127 yards in the opener as well. So D'Angelo Williams is a good, physical, you know, Pittsburgh Steeler type of runner that they got to love doing, you know, seeing what he's doing for them. And defensively, I think they're improved. They're healthy, although you see Ryan Shazier may be hurt. I go back to the injury situation. Of course, that's true of any team. But they were obviously spectacular. Washington's suspect on defense. But I still feel like Pittsburgh is the team to beat in the AFC. They, too. Okay, now you got to follow up with it because you've got a Cincinnati team coming into town that looked pretty good, and it's open.
When we look at the AFC, Coach, and you know this as well as anyone, you can't bet against Bill Belichick. There were those that said if the Patriots could go through their first four games without Tom Brady and be 2-2, that everybody would be happy. But based on how they performed against Arizona, is it out of the realm of possibilities that they might be 3-1 or even 4-0 by the time Brady comes back?
Yeah, and I was one of them on our show Game Day First for the NFL Network. We were talking about it, and I believe all of us picked Arizona to win, and to a man, we said, but we're nervous about it, because anytime you pick against the Patriots and Belichick, and particularly a Brady-less Belichick, you have a little bit of confidence. They come back and bite you every time. So, no, this bodes well for them. For them, they don't look at it that way, and he's the master at one game at a time. They got Miami coming to town, so it's a divisional game, which is important for them. But I'd be surprised if anybody picks the Patriots to lose to Miami at home.
Speaking of Miami, they went on the road in really just a defensive slugfest there against Seattle. What did you see out of the Dolphins? And also, Coach, what did you see out of Seattle?
Well, and that I was impressed with that. I mean, that's a tough place to go. We talked last week about the value I put on the ability to go on the road and win, particularly in an opener, and particularly when you're talking about Miami going to Seattle. They'd been better off going to London. It would be an easier trip for them. That's a tough slog. The defense was impressive. I think it was an example of Russell Wilson this year. I think it's going to have to be finally a 500-plus throw quarterback. He's been under that his first few years because they haven't had to do more than that. Play great defense, run the ball. Not that they're not going to continue to play great defense. They ran the ball okay, but Russell Wilson threw the ball 43 times. And I think we're going to see more of that this year because they're going to need for him to throw the ball in order to get the win.
We know it was against the Cleveland Browns, but at the same time, Carson Wentz came out, a guy that just a few weeks ago, Coach, wasn't even expected to start because Sam Bradford was there, and he wound up with 278 yards, a couple of touchdowns. What did you think of the rookie's performance?
Yeah, very impressive. I mean, particularly for rookie, you just want to see, are they overwhelmed? Do they look like they can function? And both he and Dak Prescott played very, very well. It was interesting to watch them. It was the same game plan. Both opened up with a lot of boots and outside the pocket, to settle them down, make it an easy read, and then eventually evolved where they had to throw more from the pocket. Now, and it's good for their development. I don't know that you want a rookie throwing the ball 37 times a game like Wentz did, or 45 times like Dak Prescott. But from a development standpoint, because that puts them on a 600-throw season, which would be great for their development as a quarterback, but in terms of winning games and that profile, that would be a steep curve for these rookies. But I tell you what, they look like they were up to it. Where you saw it was down on third down. Both struggled a little bit in third down in those critical areas. Although Carson Wentz in the red zone looked pretty good. You had to be pleased, even though, of course, Dallas lost. You had to be pleased, both teams, with the starts of their rookies, Dak Prescott and Carson Wentz.
Kansas City Chiefs pull off the biggest comeback for them in 56 years with their franchise. Is this a legit AFC West contender? I would assume so, based on what we've seen out of Andy Reid and Alex Smith managing the game.
Oh, absolutely. And it was who didn't play for them that's significant, that they all but at home could come back that way. That'll give them a lot of confidence. Now, obviously, Denver looks to be very solid. Huge win by the Oakland Raiders in New Orleans. They're going to be a factor as well. So it's going to be interesting to see. I think this is going to be a very tight division, but certainly that bodes well for Kansas City, if nothing else, give them the confidence to know, yeah, even without Jamaal Charles and some of the other players we didn't have there, we're a pretty good football team.
You just brought up the Raiders, and it's been an interesting conversation in looking at Oakland, because there were those that have criticized their opening game, saying, well, wait, this was supposed to be a team that was extremely strong on defense, and here they gave up 34 points. But the counter to that, coach, is, well, just about everybody gives up at least 30 points facing Drew Brees.
Yeah, if you're going to dismiss anybody, everybody that gives up a lot of points, a lot of yards, Drew Brees, the New Orleans Saints, at home in that dome, you can, you know, check off pretty much the entire league. You know, this guy's pretty good. I was very impressed with Oakland's ability to go on the road in one of the toughest places to play of all football, particularly in the opener, and to do it in the way they did, to come back the way they did, to go for it on two-point conversion twice and to get it. That bodes very well for that team, a resiliency on that team. And, yeah, certainly some things, the big plays they're going to have to cut down on. I know that was disappointing for Ken Norton Jr. And his defense, but they're not the Lone Ranger in that regard when it comes to New Orleans Saints. New Orleans Saints defense continues. They're going to have a tough time this year because Drew Brees and Sean Payton know once again they got to score a minimum of 30 points a game or they got no chance.
Takes a lot of guts to do what Coach Jack Del Rio did at the end of the game. Coach, do you think you could have done the same thing if you were coaching?
Well, I've told in a lot of interviews that I'm doing talk about, you typically, particularly going on the road, you'll get with the staff and say, okay, guys, what's our mentality going to be at the end of the game? We've got to go for two. I mean, you put that down specifically at what do you guys think? It's different at home than it is possibly on the road. And go through the mindset of Jack Del Rio. Okay, I'm going to take a 50-50 chance of getting a two-point play. Or what are my odds if I go into overtime in New Orleans on the road that late in the game against that crowd and, oh, by the way, against a Hall of Famer like Drew Brees? I kind of like my odds with the two-point play rather than putting it in Drew Brees' hands.
He's the coach, Brian Billick. We say it every week. If you spend 10, 15 minutes with the coach, you're a smarter football fan. He's brought to us every week here on the NFL Files podcast by SeatGeek. Make sure you've downloaded the SeatGeek app or visited SeatGeek.com. It's a great way for you to make sure if you're getting tickets to a sporting event or a concert that you're getting the absolute best deal for you and your friends. That's the SeatGeek app. Coach, appreciate the time as always, and we'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely.
Overtime.
For Overtime on the NFL Files, Mike Garofolo from NFL Network. First of all, Mike, congratulations on making the jump to NFL Network. We've got a six-pack of questions for you, rapid-fire style. Let's start here. After seeing what happened with Jack Del Rio, are we going to see more coaches go for two?
I don't think so. I think a lot of them are still conservative by nature, and Jack Del Rio is a more forward-thinking coach and has been for a while, so it doesn't shock me that he's the guy, and you know, there is an old adage, you play for the win on the road, you play for the tie at home, so maybe the situation, you know, bared out for that one, and the momentum that they had at the time. I just don't see that being something that all of a sudden coaches are going to start doing, because the minute they fail, they're going to be called upon as bozos.
All right, question number two in the six-pack. For you, the biggest surprise of week one?
Probably the Detroit Lions. You know, I went up there and I heard all that positive talk about their offense and how they wouldn't miss Calvin Johnson, and everything I heard was that this offense actually, not that they'd be better off without Calvin Johnson, but for this offense, the way that they want to spread the ball around, nothing really runs through one person, so that they'd be able to kind of move that ball around. And you hear that and you go, yeah, but you're going to be without Calvin Johnson, so how is that possible? Well, you saw on display. Now, that's not the best defense they're going to face all year. Maybe one of the worst, as a matter of fact. So they're going to have to continue to prove that. But to me, that was a surprise they were able to pull that one off.
All right, Mike, question number three. Does Larry Fitzgerald actually have a secret fountain of youth? And if so, how do you and I get some of it?
He is amazing. And it's all about how he takes care of his body and his dedication to the game. And it is up there with some of the greats of all time. And I don't know if it's going to be his last season. I think a lot of it's going to depend on what kind of success the Cardinals have and whether he thinks this team could you know, have more success a year from now. I don't think that decision's been made yet. I think it's a possibility, but at the very least, I think he could absolutely continue to play at a high level for beyond this season.
It's overtime on the NFL Files. Mike Garofolo from NFL Network with me. Follow him on Twitter, at Mike Garofolo. Mike, question number four, true or false, the Patriots will go 4-0 with Jimmy Garoppolo?
I'll go true. Yeah, just because they've got three more home games here, and then they catch Houston on a short week on the Thursday night game at home. So, I think it's a possibility, and sure, I'll ride with my somewhat similar namesake here.
There you go. All right, question number five for you. Based on what you saw in week one, who wins the NFC East?
I'm still going Redskins, just because I didn't expect anybody to run away with it. I still don't. I think that's a terrific team that they played. I'm not going to overreact to that one. I do think that there are holes on that roster. I think there's things that they need to patch up, but I'm not going to overreact to that one. There's going to be the opposite of overreaction Monday, even though it's beyond Monday, but it's going to be the opposite of that, because I still believe that they're going to be the team that winds up coming out on top.
Mike Garofolo with me. Last question for you in our six-pack. If you had the choice, and obviously the athletic ability as well, Mike, if you had the choice, would you rather catch a touchdown from your favorite quarterback or sack your most hated rival quarterback?
Probably the TD. Just because, you know, those guys, the skill position guys get all the glory, and then you get to do, well, I guess you can do a dance after the sack, but the end zone dances to me are always, there's more options down there amongst the fans and the goalposts and all that stuff. I'd even draw a penalty for using something as a prop.
All right, bonus answer to this one, Mike. Who would that quarterback be for you? Who's your favorite? Who would you want to be on the receiving end of?
My favorite of all time? I grew up watching Randall Cunningham, so that would have to be my guy.
There you go. Mike Garofolo with us on Overtime on the NFL Files. Make sure you watch him now that he's on NFL Network. Again, congratulations, and follow him on Twitter, at Mike Garofolo. Mike, appreciate the time. Thanks for joining me.
You got it, Nate.
Mike Garofolo, NFL Network, appreciate his time. As I mentioned, just made the jump from Fox to NFL Network, and prior to that, he had been with USA Today. So definitely moving up the ladder when it comes to covering football. Appreciate your time joining me this week on this edition of the NFL Files. My name is Nate Lundy. Talk to you next week right here.
This has been a Sports Joe production. For more team-specific podcasts, visit sportsjoe.com.